May we have a word of prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee in Thy goodness and mercy. Thou hast gathered us together tonight unto the name of Thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the desire of our hearts to glorify Thee, to exalt the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. And to that name every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. It is the delight of our heart to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over us. He is Lord over all. And we do submit ourselves to Thee for this evening. We ask Thee, Lord, that by Thy Spirit, that Thou will quicken our understanding. Thou will quicken Thy word to our heart and bring us into Thy very purpose, Thy very will. We ask in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. I believe we all know that the theme of this conference is purpose, walk, and warfare. Or if you want to, you can say will, walk, and warfare. You find these are the subjects, especially in the epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 through chapter 3, we find purpose, God's purpose. Chapter 4 to chapter 5, verse 9, we find our walk. And then finally, chapter 6, verse 10 to the end, the warfare. It seems to me that this is the divine order. First, purpose, then walk, and then warfare. Without knowing the purpose of God, we can hardly walk according to His will. And if we do not walk in His will, we are unable to enter into spiritual warfare. So purpose is the first thing that we have to understand and enter in. And then you'll find walk will follow and warfare will also follow. The burden upon me is on purpose. I would like to share with you, dear brothers and sisters, on this matter of purpose from four directions. One, purpose hidden in creation, especially the creation of man. Second, purpose illustrated in human history. Third, purpose sung in prophetic songs. And finally, purpose consummated in Christ and the Church. Now this evening we will begin with the first one. Purpose hidden in creation, particularly in the creation of man. Will you please turn to Ephesians chapter 1. The letter to the Ephesians chapter 1. We read from verse 3 through verse 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him, before the world's foundation, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, having marked us out beforehand for sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has taken us into favor in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has caused to abound towards us in all wisdom and intelligence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, for the administration of the fullness of time, to head up all things in the Christ, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth, in him, in whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being marked out beforehand according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who have pre-trusted in the Christ, in whom we also have trusted, having heard the word of the truth, the glad tidings of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance, to the redemption of the acquired possession, to the praise of his glory. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verses 26, 27, and 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over the whole earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. And God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the heavens, and over every animal that moveth on the earth. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 18. And Jehovah Elohim said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate, his like. Verse 21. And Jehovah Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and clothes of flesh in his stead. And Jehovah Elohim built the rib that he had taken from man into a woman, and brought her to man. And man said, this time it is bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. This shall be called woman, because this was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. In the first passage that we have just read, Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 3 to verse through verse 14, we find that the word will is used three times. It is used in verse 5. No, verse 5. According to the good pleasure of his will. And then in verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will. And again in verse 11. Who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And then again we find the word purpose is used twice. It is used in verse 9, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And again in verse 11, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will. So here you find two words, will and purpose. Actually, these two words are very closely linked together. Sometimes they are synonymous. They can use interchangeably. Our God is a personal God. That is to say, he has a personality of his own. He has a will. He is the supreme will of the universe. His will supersedes all wills. And his will governs all things. He wills according to his good pleasure. He is the absolute free will. He wills whatever pleases him. He does not need to answer to anybody. What he is pleased with, he wills. And his will is a mystery to us. By mystery, it doesn't mean something mysterious. It simply means something that is hidden in God, a secret that waits to be revealed. Our God himself is a great mystery. But thank God, it pleases him to reveal his Son in us. He not only wills according to his good pleasure. It is a mystery hidden in him. But he exercises his will to work out what he has willed. So here you'll find purpose. He purposed in himself. He purposed in himself even before the foundation of the world. And after he has purposed, he works it out that his purpose may be fulfilled. So this is our God. He has a will. He has a purpose. And he works out what he has willed and purposed. Now the purpose of God is purpose according to himself. In other words, if he purposed a purpose, It must be something that answers to himself. Something that satisfies himself. So the purpose of God must be a glorious purpose. Something that is far beyond that we can comprehend. Because it is something which he purposed to satisfy his very being. And this is the purpose that he desires us to enter in. What is the purpose of God? We say it is hidden. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When he created the heavens and the earth, he has that purpose in mind. He created the heavens and the earth for his beloved Son. He loves his Son so much, he wants to do something for him. And it is out of this desire that he created the heavens and the earth. When we look at the universe, it is such a tremendous creation. Even today, with all our knowledge, science, people still do not know how does this creation come into being. Much less do they know why this universe. But dear brothers and sisters, we do thank the Lord. We know how this world is created. Because we are told by God. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 we are told, chapter 11, verse 3, we are told, by faith, we apprehend that the worlds were formed by the word of God. So what we have seen does not originate from what appears. In other words, the universe is created, is formed by the Word of God. And not only that, we also know why all creation was created. Because again we are told by the Word of God in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 through verse 18, that when God created all things, he created all things in his Son, by his Son, and for his Son. When he created all things were designed by his beloved Son. His Son was the architect of all creation. And when it was actually created, it was created by him. That is, he is the one who builds everything. And when everything was finished, it was for him. Now the reason why you find God created all things in his Son, by his Son, and for his Son, is that his Son may have the preeminence over all things. Or to put it in another way, he wants his Son to be the heir of all things, to inherit all things, that all things will be in subjection to his Son, that his Son may head up all things. All things will find their meaning in his Son. And all things subsist in his Son. That is, all things were held together by his Son. He is the glue that put all things together into perfect harmony. So, brothers and sisters, by the word of God, we know that God created all things with his Son in view. He gave all things to his Son, that his Son may have the first place in all things. It is true, the inanimate things, such as the mountains, the rivers, these inanimate things, they may not have an intelligence, and yet, automatically, they submitted themselves to the beloved Son of God. Intelligent beings, such as the angels, even though they were not told fully by God why they were created, yet instinctively they knew they had to submit themselves to the Son of God, to the one who created them. They have to obey him and to serve him. So, brothers and sisters, even though the purpose of God at that time was not yet fully revealed, it was still hidden in God. But the very fact that all things were created in his Son, by his Son, and for his Son, that very fact was before all creation. So in the beginning you find the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. You find that the whole universe were in perfect harmony. They were in subjection to the heir of all things. It was a wonderful, beautiful picture. We do not know how long this continued. But by the word of God, we knew that, unfortunately, at a certain period of time, there was a rebellion in heaven. We get it from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14, and from Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11 through 19, that somehow in time past, one of the created beings, the most intelligent, an archangel by the name of Lucifer, brilliant star. And if you read Ezekiel chapter 28, you'll find when God created Lucifer, he created him with such beauty. He adorned him with such glory. He gave him such talents. And he gave him great position. He was an anointed covering angel. In other words, he was an anointed angel covering the throne of God. He was very near to God. He was supposed to lead the other angels in worshiping God and God's beloved Son. He was supposed to lead the angelic host to serve God's will, to glorify God's Son. But unfortunately, because of his wisdom, of his adornment, of his talents, of his position, somehow he began to look into himself. Instead of looking at the Son and worship him, he began to look into himself, and pride began to rise within his heart. As you find in Isaiah chapter 14, that I began to rise up. I want to rise up. I want to be evil with God. Brothers and sisters, who is evil with God? In Philippians chapter 2, we are told that our Lord Jesus, he was in the form of God. And he was equal with God, something that he does not need to grasp at. Because the Father and the Son are one. They are equal. And yet here you'll find another being, a created being, lost his sense. He wanted to take the position of the Son of God. He wants to be equal with God. He wants to be worshipped instead of being a worshipper. There was violence in him. But thank God, whenever there is anyone or anything that desires to be equal with God, God is a jealous God. And immediately you find judgment came upon that angel. He was cast out of the heavenly Eden. He and his followers were cast out. And the dominion that God had entrusted to him in order to serve God's purpose, that is our universe, enter into darkness, into emptiness, that is without purpose, and into waste and void. We do not know how long this situation continued. But thank God, God is not a man that he shall lie. Neither is this the Son of Man that he shall repent. Shall he say and not do it? Shall he speak and not make it good? Jehovah of hosts has purposed. And who shall frustrate him. His arm is stretched out, and who can turn it back? Brothers and sisters, when God will his will, when he has a purpose, he will never change. He will never give up. So we do thank God that God is working towards his purpose. In spite of what happened in heaven, God did not give up. We do not know how long a time passed, because we are children of time. But God is the eternal God. Time is nothing to him. But when his time came, we are told that the Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the deep. And in 6 days, God restored the ruined earth to make it habitable. Why? Because in the counsel of God, the recovery of the purpose of God is to be done through man. God decided that it will be man who will be his instrument and vessel for the recovery of that original purpose of his. So after God in 6 days, he restored the earth to be habitable, prepared it, and on the sixth day, he created man. The Bible said, in Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And God created man in his own image. Image refers to inward character. Likeness refers to outward form. Of the triune God, only the second person has a form. So in other words, you'll find when God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness," as a matter of fact, he created man in his character and also in the form of his beloved Son. Man was created in God's image and his likeness. Thus, man of all created beings is the only one who has the capacity and the potential of being united with God in life. In other words, because he was created in God's image, therefore, he was able to receive God's life into him and be transformed and conform to the image of God's beloved Son. That was how man was created. And God said, let man have dominion. Dominion over the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, and the fishes of the sea. And God blessed them and said, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Now, brothers and sisters, we do see that in the creation of man, God hid his purpose. Adam, as we are told in Romans chapter 4, verse 14, he is the figure of the one who comes. In other words, Adam is a type of Christ. Adam was created in the image of God, after the likeness of God. And he has all the potentials, ability, to receive what is of God into himself and be transformed. But Christ is the express image of God's being. He is that image. He is that likeness. He is God himself. Adam, he was given dominion. Dominion over the things in the air, on the earth, and under, in the water. But dear brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus is the heir of all things. He is given all things, not just limited to the earth, but the whole creation, the heavenly and the earthly, all things are given to the Son of God. Adam was told to multiply and fill the earth. But brothers and sisters, this is only physical. Our Lord Jesus is to fill all things in all. In other words, all things will have his imprint upon them. All things will have his character in them. All things will speak of him. All things will glorify him. He is the fullness of the Godhead. And he is to fill all and in all. This is the purpose of God. Subdue it. Now, in the very word subdue, it gives us a hint that something was not right. You know, even though God had restored the earth to be habitable, and especially God prepared a beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden, and God put man in that garden, and yet God said, watch. Watch. In other words, an enemy was there. Satan was cast out of heaven, and he fell into that dominion that he ruled before, our universe. He was there. And all things were still without purpose. They need to be subdued. Subdued not only in the sense of bringing everything back into order, but subdued also in the sense of bringing everything into subjection to the Son of God as it was originally designed. So, brothers and sisters, man is not only created in God's image and given such dominion, and all of this is for a reason, that man may become the instrument in God's hand to subdue the earth, bring everything back to the feet of the Son of God. But unfortunately, man failed. Instead of subduing all things, man was subdued by the enemy. So what God has given to man, the dominion, again fell into the hands of Satan. That's why he is called the ruler of this world, the prince of this world. Because man forfeited, surrendered, but brothers and sisters, when God created man, is it Adam that God had in view? God being omniscient, he knows the end from the very beginning. He certainly knows that the man whom he created and given such dominion and such important task, that man will fail. Adam would fall. God knew it. So what God had in view when he created man is not Adam. It is Christ. The man that God had before him is Christ. He knew one day his Son had to come to become a man, to be made a little lower than angels. It is no glory to God just to destroy Satan by just lifting his finger. God is almighty, but God is to use man who is a little lower than angel by man. Destroy God's enemy. So, brothers and sisters, even in the creation of Adam, God had the second man in view. In the fullness of time, God was sent his Son to this world to become a man. He is a man after God's own heart. and through him, all things will be subdued and will be brought back and laid at the feet of God. But brothers and sisters, when God created man, it is said, he created man in his own image. He created male and female. He created them. Now when we read the record, you will find that when God first created man, he took the red earth and formed it into the form of a man. And then he breathed into that nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That was how Adam was created. But when you come to the second chapter, and then you find after man was created, Adam was created, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmate, his like. In the purpose of God, he say it is not good for man to be alone. He wanted to give Adam a helpmate. But before he did that, you remember the story? How he led all the animals to Adam. And Adam named their names. Adam was a natural zoologist. When all these animals were led before him, he looked at each one of them and he gave each a name. But is it just that God wanted Adam to name the animals? That God led all these animals before him? Certainly not. God used the law of elimination. God will lead all these animals to Adam and see how Adam will react. See, God's purpose was to find a helpmate for Adam. Lest Adam will be contented with something less than what God designed for him. So God led all these animals from the lowest to the highest. And thank God, Adam looked at all these animals and shake his head and say, no. I cannot find my like. Nothing is like me. Not even the chimpanzee or whatever. Is not like me. Therefore, it cannot be my helpmate. It is as if the hope was gone. Adam will remain a bachelor forever. Well, God put him to sleep. Now, this is the first sleep that man ever slept. I think probably when Adam was created, he was so energetic, he didn't need sleep at all. Well, God put him to sleep. And God opened his side and took out something out of Adam. And you know, God took that something out of Adam. And the Bible said, he built it into a woman. And then God woke up Adam and presented that which came out of him to Adam. Adam looked at her and said, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Call him a woman, that is out of man. And there you'll find the two are joined together into one flesh. Brothers and sisters, in the will of God, God give Adam Eve, his like, and to be his helpmate. Now, unfortunately, Eve was not a very good helpmate. You remember how she was deceived by the enemy? And she persuaded her husband to eat the forbidden tree fruit. But brothers and sisters, does God really have Eve in mind? Eve is but a type. When God said it is not good for man to be alone, the man he means is not Adam. The man he means is Christ. He said, it is not good for my son to be alone. Alone to inherit all things. Alone to have all the glory. God said, he needs a helpmate. His like. So in the purpose of God, as we find in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, you find that God has purpose in his Son, even before the foundation of the world. Now in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, you'll find God's purpose in himself before the foundation of the world. And what is that purpose? That his son should head up all things. In chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, is that God's purpose in his son even before the foundation of the world. And that purpose is that even the principalities and authorities in the heavenlies shall learn the manifold wisdom of God through the church. So in other words, brothers and sisters, the preeminence of Christ is God's purpose before the foundation of the world. Likewise, the church, the helpmate of Christ, is also purpose in Christ before the foundation of the world. God put Adam to sleep. I think after a long day of travel, long day of meeting, night of meeting, I think everybody's looking forward to sleep. God put Adam to sleep, peaceful sleep. Even though God did a surgery, but it was a bloodless surgery. It was a painless surgery. God is the surgeon himself. And took out something out of him and built a woman. Brothers and sisters, this is not so with our Lord Jesus. Why? Because Eve was created, was built, before sin ever entered into the world. It was according to God's eternal purpose. Therefore you find there was no pain, no blood needed. But the church is born differently. Why? Because there is sin in the world. So our Lord Jesus, when he went to the cross, in a sense he was asleep, but he was a dead. It was a painful death. God crushed him on Calvary's cross. Why? Because God has made him a sin offering for the world. Brothers and sisters, after Christ died, the soldiers came. They saw that Christ was already dead. So instead of breaking his legs to speed his death, one soldier thrust his spear into the side of our Lord. Evidently it reached into his heart. And if you read John chapter 19, you find the Apostle John. He was at the feet of the cross. He saw what happened. He saw that when the spear was drawn out of the sight of our Lord, came out blood and water. And he witnessed and said, what I see is real, is true. Emphatically, he said, that is what has happened. Why? Brothers and sisters, because out of his pierced heart comes out blood and water. Blood for the atoning of our sins. Water is life, giving life to those who believe in Christ Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, the church is born out of the sight of our Lord. It is born out of the very heart of our Lord Jesus. A heart of love expressed in blood and water. You find that in Ephesians chapter 5. He loved the church and gave himself for her. He sanctified, purifying it by the water with the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle, any such sort, holy and without blemish. Brothers and sisters, it is out of the sight of our Lord. by the blood and the life that the church is built. When Eve was led to Adam, immediately Adam knew this was his like, because it came out of him. And they were united into one. Dear brothers and sisters, what is the church in the purpose of God? The church in the purpose of God is to be his like. In other words, the church is none other but Christ's extension. It is the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. There is nothing else but Christ himself. Christ corporate. That is the church. And the principle we see here is only that which comes out of Christ can go back and be united in one with Christ. If there is anything in us, corporately or individually, however good it may be, if it does not come out of Christ, brothers and sisters, one day it cannot be united with Christ. It will be rejected, eliminated. What a calling the church has. His counterpart. His helpmate. Eve failed in her task, just like Adam failed in his task. But the church, in God's mind, in God's purpose, will fulfill what God has called. Even though today, brothers and sisters, we feel ashamed because what we call church seem to fail Christ, just like Eve failed to be a helpmate to Adam. Instead of helping Adam to accomplish the task that God has called him to do, to subdue all things, we find Eve was used by the enemy to lead man into slavery, to sin, and to the enemy. And dear brothers and sisters, we feel ashamed. But thank God. As Christ is victorious, the church is the triumphant church. We know that one day the principalities and authorities in the heavenlies, they shall learn the manifold wisdom of God through the church. They are more intelligent than we are. Commentators said, in Ephesians chapter 3, the principalities and authorities in the heavens are the good angels, not the evil ones. Because the evil ones never learn, never want to learn. But it was those good angels, even though they are more intelligent than we human beings, and yet they learn the manifold wisdom of God, and that is the grace of God. Not that we can teach them anything, but we can show them the manifold grace of God in Christ Jesus. And for this, they worship, they praise God. So, brothers and sisters, you find that even in the very creation, in the creation of man, in the creation of Eve, brothers and sisters, we do find God's purpose hidden there. Or to put it in another way, it is in view of Christ and the church that God created Adam and Eve. So may the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do worship Thee because Thy purpose, which Thou hast purposed in Thyself and in Thy beloved Son, is so perfect, so good, so acceptable. We worship Thee. We agree with Thee that Thy Son shall have the preeminence of all things. Lord, we who are the redeemed, we want to submit ourselves to Thee as an example to all created beings, heavenly and earthly. We want to tell them that Thou art worthy. Worthy to receive power, honor, glory, and dominion. And Lord, we want to be the first to crown Thee King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We declare that by Thy grace we are Thine. And by Thy grace, we want to be wholly Thine. Thou shalt have first place in our life. And we do humbly ask Thee to use us to be Thy instrument, to bring all things to Thy feet, to the praise of Thy glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus.